Praise the Lord. All right, let's get into the Word tonight, shall we? All right, this is number 10 in the Healing Example series. And here's the title of the message tonight. And as we get into it, you'll recognize why I titled this message this way. The title is, What Day for Healing? What day for healing? We've been talking about healing. We've been looking at the various examples in the Word of God. There are a lot of them. There are some that are brought out. I will tell you this, in John chapter 21, in fact, turn over there right quick, just to John chapter 21. I want to show you something. It's the last chapter in the book of John, right before the book of Acts. In fact, it's the very last verse in the chapter. Very last verse in the Gospel of John, verse 25. And it reads this way, And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself, could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? I mean, just give it a thought for a second and meditate on that. There were times when the Bible said that Jesus healed the multitudes. In fact, in Matthew 15, verses 30 and 31, you find an example of that. The multitudes came, they brought the lame, the sick, and so on and so forth, and he healed them all. How many? It said multitudes. That wasn't six. Okay? It was multitudes of people. I mean, when you had all these people crying out, and there was a lot of sickness and disease going around, and a lot of people that were hurting, and they came, and the multitudes were healed. Mark that down and flip over to Luke chapter 6, and I'll show you one more place. And there are others, so you can do a little study on that if you'd like. But Luke 6, verse number 19, the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and he healed them all. You find that in places in the Word that Jesus healed a whole lot of people that you don't even know about. They're not individually broken down in the Scriptures and the experience of what happened to them. It just says he healed them all. He healed the multitudes. And if there were more books, I mean, all of the acts that happened, all the things that Jesus did, the world couldn't hold all the volumes. So that tells you something, that the examples of healing that we see in the Gospels, and there are some, of course, in the book of Acts as well, and these examples are there, but they're not just, you know, there's not just 15 or 20 healings that took place in the New Testament. There were so many, they can't list them all. Now, I want you to realize that. Healing is for the believer today. Healing is even for those that are not believers, believe it or not. You say, well, don't you have to believe to be healed? Well, it's interesting to me when he healed the multitudes. You know good and well there were some doubters in there. There were times where he ministered healing and then he preached the word to them. Don't ever put Jesus in a box. He will not stay there. You cannot put him in a box. Well, he has to do it this way, he has to do it this way, he has to do it. No. We find a lot of different ways that Jesus healed in the Word of God. Now, based on the new covenant that we have a right to walk in divine health. We have authority over sickness and disease. Absolutely. But are you supposed to anoint that person with oil this time? There are times the Bible, and it instructs it, you can anoint the sick. Anointing with oil is scriptural. There were times when Jesus laid hands on some. Sometimes he didn't. Sometimes he just spoke. Come on, am I being honest with you? Right? It's there. There are times he just spoke. One time he went up and touched the casket and the boy rose up. Didn't say he touched him, said he touched the casket. Sometimes he'd rebuke a devil and call a devil out and cast the devil out. Other times he wouldn't. He'd say, by your faith be it done unto you. You know, I mean, he in one case appeared to be calling a woman a dog, but he really didn't. And her daughter got set free, if you recall. Wasn't that the Syrophoenician woman? I believe it was. Anyway, but there's a lot of different ways. There are many methods to healing, many methods of healing, ways that God can do it. And then just as soon as you think you figure them all out, he'll show you another one. I've heard of times and have seen it actually happen where a minister, now, you know, you better know you're hearing from God. A guy punched a person in the stomach. And I'll tell you something. If that's not God, you've got an assault charge on you. Right there. You hear what I'm saying? But when this man did this, the tumor that this person had completely disappeared. So who's going to argue? You know, I mean, where growths fall off, tumors deflate. I mean, the Spirit of God can move in really cool ways. You know, in one case in the Old Testament, the prophet told, you remember Naaman, the Syrian, go dip in the river, the Jordan, go do it. How many times? Seven times, right? He didn't want to, but when he did, he came up clean of leprosy. I will tell you something. Obedience is greater than sacrifice, and it seemed like a sacrifice to hop into that river. But his obedience triggered the anointing to bring the healing. Amen. So just because you're born again does not mean that you automatically have strong faith. Do we all realize that? Just because you're born again doesn't mean your faith is developed where it needs to be. And let me ask you another question. Will your faith ever be developed completely where it needs to be? No. Just shake your head. No. Somebody say, well, mine is. No. You're never going to reach the end of developing in your faith. You're just not. You're not God. But this is the thing. The Bible says that the riches of Christ, they're the unsearchable riches of Christ. You're never going to get it all. But man, we got to keep plunging and plunging into the Word of God and digging things out. And because I'll tell you, there's more there all the time that begins to surface and you see. But the fact is, we're never going to get it all. Well, that just sounds kind of hopeless to me. Why even try? Because there's a whole lot there that we don't have. Amen. And a whole lot there that we need. Amen. And one day you'll get to see them face to face. My goodness sakes. Thank you, Lord. I always kind of get a kick out of people when they get a revelation in the Word and they think that that's the end all. I'm like, man, there is so much in this Word. And the longer you preach it, the more you realize what you don't know. There's just so much. But just because you're born again does not mean that you're automatically strong in faith. We've been given, in fact, at the new birth, you were given, the Scripture speaks of, a measure of faith. And what do you have to do with that measure? You need to cause it to grow, right? You get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, or the rhema, the spoken word of God. How would you get faith for healing? Based on Romans 10, verse 17, you have to hear the word on healing. There are people that are very developed in the message of the new birth. They've got the four spiritual laws down that they call the four spiritual laws. And they can, you know, take people down the Romans road. Roman road in the book of Romans. And that's great, and praise God for it. But they're developed over there, but they don't know anything about having their needs met. They're not well versed over here in the subject of healing or protection or whatever else it may be. I'll tell you, in order to have your faith developed in the area of prosperity, you got to hear the word on prosperity. And you can't approach it with this idea like, oh man, all those people that have money are crooks. Every last one of them. There are crooks out there. There are crooks in the ministry. There are people that call themselves ministers that I wouldn't associate with because it's questionable of their character, okay? But I'm not their final judge. But I will say this, that the fact of the matter is God's the richest one that has ever been, and whatever you obtain in this earth is going to pale in comparison to what the Lord has. And when you get to heaven one day, buddy, or budette, buddyette, ma'am, how's that? You better get used to some prosperity. Wouldn't this be cool if this was transparent gold? Man, we'd have to have armed guards around this place every night just to make sure this didn't walk away. And besides that, it wouldn't be that light. This is pretty heavy, actually, but it wouldn't. You couldn't move it if it were gold. The streets of gold, they're transparent. That's so pure. Or if this was a diamond pulpit. Are you kidding me? It's worth $8 million or whatever. I mean, and God's like, big deal. But people are like, whoa. You know how many dead presidents that is when you start counting it? And it's like, no, hold on a minute. In God's eyes, what's prosperity? You're talking to the one who created everything, for crying out loud. What is healing to the Lord? He created the body. Don't you suppose he can heal the body of what it needs? Don't you suppose that, you know, I mean, he's bigger. His hand is mighty. He can watch over and protect his kids if you'll trust him. Sure, but the whole key in that is you're going to have to hear the word on that. Now, nobody has it all, okay? I do preach on, you know, I'll teach on the subject of faith. We're talking about healing in this series. We're talking about the glory on Sunday. We've been in a series there. I've preached on prosperity. You know, I've done series on all these things, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the power of God and the protection that's available, the ministry of angels. I mean, we of course talk about salvation, what salvation really means, and all of that, and we try to get it, you know, give it to you by the Holy Spirit, a well-rounded diet from the Word of God. One of the things that you can count on and know, just right off the bat, you are a winner in Jesus Christ. You're a winner. You don't have to come in, you know, way down the line. No, God wants you to win in this life. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be healthy, whole, and have peace in your thoughts. He wants everything that you put your hand to prosper. He wants you to be protected. He wants you to walk in divine favor. He, my goodness, you are his child. And he's going, go over here, do this. I've got a really neat thing waiting for you right here. This is my will for your life. Here, do this. And we get walking along, you know. And don't want to listen. I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I'm going to listen to that. And God can use and will use people to help you in your walk. So tonight, we're going down this road again regarding healing. But just as you have to feed your body for it to have strength, right? Did anybody eat today? You know what's kind of cool? I found an app the other day. It came up on my phone when I was, what was I doing? I was checking my emails, and this thing came up for a fasting app. Have you seen it? Everyone's thinking of all these things to do. And this is an app about fasting, and you can schedule your fast. I'm kind of like, you know, who really wants to fast? I mean, but I do, okay? I don't really want to, but I do it. And part of my whole lifestyle for how many years now has been to fast, you know, I won't necessarily go, you know, 3-4 days with no food. I just, every day I fast from something. And I try to live what you would call the fasted life and don't get over into excess in anything. You mean you never overeat? I can't say I've never overeaten, can you? But I make it a habit to watch what I eat. Amen. And so that's a good thing. Praise God. So you have need for strength in your physical body. The only way that you're going to have strength in your body, you can want to be as strong as you can be, but if you're not eating, you go a while without eating. Yeah, you can fast. You can fast for 40 days. But once hunger starts to come back, you'd better eat. Why is that? Because starvation's beginning to set in to your body, and if you don't eat, you die. Jesus did fast for 40 days and 40. I mean, he did it. I think the longest I've gone has been, what, a week or 10 days or something like that? And I found it very difficult to eat after that. Had to make myself eat. But if you don't eat, you can't expect to have what you need on the inside of you for strength. Yeah, but if I were so spiritual. Yeah, but even Jesus ate after a certain period of time, okay? And your body's designed the way it's designed. It has to have food to survive. If anybody was or could have just gone on and not eaten, it would have been Jesus, God in the flesh, but even he ate after the fast was done. So, you know, you have to put food into your body for strength. You have to feed your spirit too. You need to feed your spirit. What do you feed your spirit? You feed your spirit the Word of God. Your spirit will grab the Word of God that you hear. Do you hear me? If you don't, your spirit could end up being weak. Somebody say, how could my spirit be weak? Well, let me just qualify that for a second. Remember, God lives in your spirit. That's where the Holy Spirit lives, is in your spirit, man. Okay? He recreated it. That's where the presence of God is in you. So can that really ever be weak? I'll tell you, in the respect of he's there, he'll never leave you nor forsake you, no. But you know what you can do? You can totally ignore God on the inside of you. And you can just live your life like a little devil. Or a big devil. Or just a creep. How's that? And you ignore the scriptures. You don't do the word. You hear the word, but you choose not to do it. And so now your spirit, in the respect of if it's having the dominance by the Holy Spirit, you're being led by your flesh. So in that respect, your spirit man is weak. Okay? So I'm not saying that you have sin in your spirit. You don't. You don't have sin in your spirit. God doesn't slide over and say, okay, Mr. Devil, you're going to have half of his spirit this week. It's not the way it works. Where there's light, there's no darkness. But you can put a cloak over the light or put a bushel over the light, right? Your light doesn't shine. You're born again, all right. Your spirit man has received the word of God. You've heard a lot of stuff, but because you're choosing carnal things and you're letting that usurp your attention, your spirit man is not having the ascendancy. And so the Holy Spirit in your spirit is not having the ascendancy in your life. And you're going to have some issues. So in that respect, your spirit could be weak. But you need to feed on the word regularly. Amen? And on top of that, I mean, you need your daily time in the word. You also need to be hearing the word at church. It's a good thing. And, you know, I will say this, that going to church is a blessing when you're getting around other believers. It really is. Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, are you in Luke 6? Good, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. Luke 6. We're going to read three accounts of one healing that took place. There are three accounts, and we're just going to barely touch into this tonight. But I want you to see something here. In verse 1, Luke 6, verse 1, and it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. You remember this? And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did? So he's asking them, have you not read this? Remember who he's talking to. He's talking to the Pharisees here, right? Okay, but there are other doctors of the law present. These were the experts on the law. And he's pretty much telling them, you don't know what you're talking about, boys. But he did it in a nice way. He did it in a nice way, and he said, like, have you never read this? See, what religious people will do is they'll focus on one little section of a scripture and ignore all the rest of it. And pull it out of context, and you can make the scripture say a whole lot of things if you pull it out of context. And here's what that's what they were doing. So Jesus answering them in verse 3 said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them, look at this, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. Oh, man, just understand that right off the bat. He knows what you're thinking. Okay? And said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, now notice, they don't answer him. Do you see that? He asked him a question. I can see Jesus looking around and with disgust saying, stretch forth your hand, and have the guy stretch his hand forth right there on the spot. He asked them a question, all these experts who he pretty much just slapped in the face back here in verse 3. He did it in a kind way, but he pretty much told them, y'all don't know what you're talking about. That's Oklahoma for the Jerusalem thing that happened right there. But y'all, yeah. A few of my siblings don't think I should say y'all because I'm from the north. Well, let me tell you this. I've been here longer than I lived in Wisconsin, so I'm officially an Okie. Amen? Y'all. You ins. How's that? Where was I? Okay. Is it lawful? So we asked him a question in verse 10. Verse 10, he's looking about upon them all. And he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. He did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And here's what happened. They were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. There it is again. Jesus goes and prays all night. He just had a wonderful, wonderful miracle happen here. And there he is, God in the flesh, and he's out praying. And he goes and spends time in prayer. I'll ask myself the question, have you done that, Pastor Dan? So I can ask you the same question. Have you done that? Have you spent some serious time in prayer? Well, I know the word. Come on. Who knew the word better and who knows the word better than Jesus Christ? Let me ask you, who? Tell me who. Nobody. He's the Word made flesh. And he didn't rest on the laurels that he's the Word made flesh. So he goes and prays. I think, you know, spending some serious time in prayer, you'll find out in a hurry how much flesh you actually have. Because your flesh will fight you tooth and nail. But you can break past that. Amen? It's the truth. So let's go and read the other accounts right quick, and we'll wrap this thing up tonight. But Mark chapter 2, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So you started in Luke, go back to Mark. I think it's interesting that Luke mentioned it was the man's right hand. Did you see that? It was the man's right hand. If you'll take notice, neither Matthew nor Mark mentioned that. But Luke was a doctor, and he would notice, well, it's the guy's right hand, you know, whatever. Mark chapter 2, verse 23. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? They're just wanting to eat. They're hungry. There is no law against eating on the Sabbath day. All right? There's not. But they, again, found a little section that you're supposed to do no work, no servile work, I believe it reads, on the Sabbath. But there's no law against eating. So the Pharisees are taking this and they're straining at this gnat again. They're looking at this, trying to find something wrong here. The Pharisees said, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, have you never read, here's the same thing, have you never read what David did when he had need and wasn't hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them that were with him. Same account, okay, but a little more detail. There's three separate accounts of this, and each one gives a little detail the other doesn't give. Look at verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also, or is Lord also of the Sabbath. What verse 27 says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath, was that we're not made to serve the creation. The creation was made for us. There are people that are worshiping the creation today. Do you realize that? You know, tree huggers? Oh, why would you want to hug a tree? They don't hug you back. But people that are all into the creation, God's creation, and they'll save a whale but kill a baby. Better watch, you know, protect those crabs out there in those places out in the ocean. Don't drill for any oil because there's crabs there. Look, I'm a humane person. I love animals, and I don't want to, you know, kill stuff. But if I have a choice between saving a whale and letting a baby, a human life, be saved, guess which one I'm going to take? I mean, creation is to serve us. We're not supposed to serve it. Amen. The Sabbath day was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You have a lot of people entering into serving rituals. And it's ritual stuff. That's all it's about. It's not supposed to be that way. We are to serve the Lord and Him only. And Jesus is making that point to these they're basically just legalistic, religious, hateful people that are looking for something wrong with Jesus, and he straightens them out real quick right there. Let's go to Matthew quickly, to Matthew. Actually, we're not done with the account yet. Chapter 3. Yeah, we need to go into chapter 3. Verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hands, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And look at the next phrase. But they held their peace. In other words, they couldn't answer him. They knew that they couldn't answer him. They were not going to argue with this guy. Would get him nowhere anyway. And when he had looked round about on them with anger. That's what I'm saying. When he looked around about, I can just see Jesus. He's ticked off. They would rather see this guy stay in this state and fulfill their ideas of legalism and be nitpicking about something and let this man suffer. And Jesus said, No, the Sabbath was not made for man. Or was made for man. It's not man for the Sabbath. So it's all right to heal, in other words, on the Sabbath. Stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. They see a notable miracle right before them, and they want to kill him because he did it. These are some quality people. Amen? Yeah. Lastly, Matthew chapter 12. And we'll just look at this one right quick because we're going to go into this in the weeks to come on this particular account of healing. Chapter 12 of Matthew, look at verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Okay, same account. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, what were they doing, following him around? You know, it's like the stinking paparazzi or the news press corps or whatever. You're like just looking for something. Doesn't it remind you kind of what went on the last 4 years everywhere? Now, I'm not saying President Trump was Jesus because he isn't and wasn't and never will be. But it's kind of interesting how they, everywhere he goes, every step he took, everything, looking for a chink in his armor, whatever he said, something, you know. And there's a Mr. Biden making fun of President Trump because how many of y'all have shoes with leather soles on them? Huh? These actually have like a rubber kind of sole on them. So you can walk on stuff but I have some. The ones I had on Sunday have leather soles on them. You get on certain surfaces, I'm telling you, you'll fall flat on your back if you're not careful. Serious. And I have good balance. So when President Trump went down that ramp, where was it, at West Point, wherever he was at, and he's going kind of gingerly, the press, oh, there's something wrong with him. Yeah, he's got leather soles on, a metal ramp. Get a clue. And Mr. Biden was making fun of that. As Sean Hannity showed Biden going up this thing into his plane and he fell 3 times. Now, again, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but at the same time, you know, be careful what you say. Mm-hmm. So here we are. Look at verse 3. Wait a minute. Matthew 12, verse 3. No. I'm at 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. And he said unto them, have you not read what David did when he was hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Wait a minute. The priests work on the Sabbath. That's their big day. And yet, they're saying, nobody should do, you shouldn't even touch and reach down and pick up some food to eat, and God forbid that anybody ought to be healed. There are other days to come and be healed. You know, that's the day to, you know, this is not the day. You got all these other days to do it. Man. And you notice in all three of these accounts, the words lawful and unlawful, in connection to the Sabbath, and that's what they were all about, trying to find something unlawful to say, you can't heal. That's not lawful to heal. Let me tell you something. God is good. God is kind. The Lord does a restorative thing on us when he heals our bodies. That's what healing is. And healing is good. And healing is kindness. Amen? Sure it is. And it's restorative. And that's what the Lord was wanting to do here. And, of course, he did. He healed this man. We'll go into some more of the particulars in the upcoming weeks. So let's just stop there for tonight. But know that. It's his will to heal. He doesn't play that religious game and try to find little nitpicky things to say, nope, not going to heal you. You shut your mouth off at your wife yesterday. I'm not going to heal you. Stand to your feet, please. Now, I would suggest that if you have something in your life that was sinful, that you know that you were wrong, that you repent of it, It doesn't change the fact that he loves you, okay? And this is where some folks have a little bit of an issue. They say, well, you know, the Lord will heal anybody at any time, regardless. But the fact is, if you have sin in your life and you're holding on to it, that becomes a blockade for the power of God in you. So I would suggest that you keep the slate clean. Don't let stuff build up. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you. Amen. We know that. Come on, bow your head with me and let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight and praise you tonight for your goodness. Thank you for the power of God that heals. Thank you for your power that flows and brings healing to even withered hands. God, I know you healed my wrist and did a wonderful work there for me. And I praise God that others in here have had the power of God touch their bodies and heal them. And I thank you for it. Some have need of it tonight. And Lord, we just reach out and say, do what you want to do in us. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your ukita lamasingere begesto lamasuka. They say, somebody with a kidney issue. Something's going on in the kidneys. I don't know if it's in here tonight or online, but somebody that's had a kidney issue. I call your kidneys whole in the name of Jesus. I speak over those kidneys. The God of creation loves you so much. All he wants you to do is trust him in the name of Jesus. Trust him. Receive your healing tonight. Receive that healing. I don't know if you thought it was a bladder infection. It could have been, but it had something to do with the kidneys. And just receive your healing in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for that and praise you for that. We give you glory for it, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, sir, for your healing virtue flowing. There's no distance in the Spirit. Wherever you're at tonight, those of you you're here, I know that, but those of you out there online, I don't know where you're at. Whatever it is that you've been struggling with, reach out and receive your healing. And then rest. I was witnessing that today, that if you're in faith, you're going to rest. You can go back and find last Wednesday nights, we talked about rest and how important it is. I don't mean just getting 8 hours of sleep. I'm talking about resting after you believe God and you're trusting. You're no longer in trepidation, wondering, how is this going to change? Oh, this is so bad. Blah, 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 blah. No, you rest. If you're not resting, you're not in faith. Okay? Now, that sounds like a harsh thing, but it's really just the flat truth. When you're really in faith, you're going to rest. You go, okay, I can't change it. I'll do all I can do in the natural, whatever you tell me, but you're the God that heals. Father, thank you for it tonight. We agree and bless you and praise you for healing for whoever has need of healing tonight. In Jesus' name, in the anointing that is there, in Jesus' name.